Did you ever wonder what happened to Pauly Shore?
Yes!
Well, now he's doing something called the Pauly Shore Podcast Show.
Try and experience what I'm about to chirp in your lobes, okay, Cole?
It's a podcast that's the Pauly Shore Show. So the name is the Pauly Shore Podcast Show.
And this is where I sit once in a while just to, sit.
The Pauly Shore Podcast Show.
Man, this is where it goes down!
Download a new episode every week right here at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
It's awesome.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thank you for listening to the program. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for clicking through Amazon. Thanks for spreading the word. Thanks for giving us a nice rating on iTunes and watching us climb the charts. It's all up to you, people, and we appreciate it. Good day, Dr. Drew. I'll
say good day to you, sir. Are you going to play Santa Claus this year or something? What's going on here?
Just growing the beard out, buddy.
What's going on, dude?
Growing the beard. Well, you know, I got my movie coming out.
Yeah.
And
you figure like you want to look like somebody else?
I got to look like an artist. I got a hat coming. I got some blue shaded.
Yeah. With little blue tinted, like little round, tiny specks.
That's a little John Lennon. Okay. I may be going a little more Johnny Depp and less John Lennon.
John Lennon's clean. John Depp's clean shaven, though.
Yeah, but that's where the scarves kick in.
Okay.
I got a lot of scarves. No, it's true. If you look like a clod and you sound like a clod, you don't get any traction in this town.
So you literally you're not being facetious. You're not.
No, I'm not. I'm going out as an artist.
You're going full artist.
I'm going full frontal artist. I want this movie to be successful. This town is so insanely, in a way. Disingenuous and easily duped and stupid that if you have, you know, they go, you can't judge.
Yeah.
But I told you, my buddy Kevin Hench, who just sort of strawberry haired and lily white and likes, he's a big sports fan. He's a big Boston sports guy. He has none of the trappings of a Hollywood douchebag.
Right.
When he shows
that will
up,
not do.
He excels at athletics. He's heterosexual. He doesn't have the right color, the right shape, the right anything, and he just shows up in a T-shirt that says, you know, Red Sox on it, and he couldn't get any work. So, but he did wear glasses with frames from the 90s. So
perfect.
I told him, get some hipster frames and get some work, and he got some hipster frames, and now he's got two shows on the air.
That's so crazy.
Right after I told him, change your frames. You got weird frames.
So you're growing your hair out, growing your beard out. How deep are we going into this?
I'm getting the scarves and the hat and
the hair.
The whole, I'll trim up the beard a little, but I still got to have facial hair. I got to make a statement.
So you're not going to go longer than this. You're just going to go this.
I don't.
I'm curious. I'm so
good. Look, the movie comes out in a week. I don't have that much choice.
Okay,
I can't go full
okay.
Jeff Bridges.
Okay, right.
But the point is I'm going hipster so I can be taken seriously. I'm going to dress like a clown so I can be taken seriously.
So you can be a clown.
In this piece of shit town. No, I'm going to dress like a clown so I can be taken seriously.
I didn't mean you were going to be a clown.
I'm not going to be a clown. I'm going to dress like a clown so I can be taken seriously in this piece of shit town.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm taking your metaphor all the way to the clown, which is if you're going to be a clown, you better look like a clown. That's all I'm saying. Not that you're looking like a clown. That one who's going to be a clown
Like a clown so I can be taken seriously. That's it, Drew. You don't
Bordeaux clowns?
You don't have to go back and make it something other than that.
All right.
That's what it is. No, I'm not going to be a clown.
No, I know
I'm
that.
I'm going to dress like a clown.
That. I understand.
So
that.
I can be taken seriously in this fucking piece of shit town. No, my problem is I'm heterosexual. I'm into cars. I'm into building. And
you
know, I speak my
it.
Mind. Yeah. And that is not going to.
That's not a film.
That's not going to do.
Are you kidding?
That shall not do.
Is there enough? You got to bring out the social commentary that you have to talk about the social commentary in the film.
Oh, you know, I got to tell you, I've realized why people in this town turn into colossal douchebags or sort of self important, more like self important douchebags. because I just started doing interviews, and this film I directed. And now it's a lot of discussion on direction, you know? And I'm like, well, here's kind of how it works. Here's what they don't tell you about direction. 7/10 of it is physical camera operation. When you stop and do things again, like we need another take, that's because the camera guy didn't get the move that he wanted. The camera guys are... It's this sort of moving ballet of go over here, set up, pan, 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 and then stop. And, you know, you'll have a guy with his hand on the cameraman's shoulder, mm-hmm. and it's like, take 3 steps and then stop me, you know, or we'll put a sandbag on the train tracks with the dolly right. on it, you know, whatever it is. Half of the time you do it again is not even for performance. It's just camera performance.
Well, and then there's camera angle on top of that. Like, all right, now get the one shot on him. Now get the one shot on her.
Well,
now get the
No, thank you. But that's, once again, that's getting up and moving the camera and turning around.
Right,
that's not...
In addition is all I'm saying. Not only that, but you got all that stuff too.
Right. But what I'm saying is I'm saying, yes, you do have to turn around. You do have to move all
People
the cameras around.
That, yeah.
All right. But what I'm saying is as far as the takes go, once you're all set up on one side, most of the time you stop. And yes, you do have to turn around. But I'm not talking about that. Yeah. I'm saying most of the time you stop is because the camera guy gets a flare. The movement's not right. It's not cropped right. There's something in the background. He's not seeing what he wants to see. And there's somebody that's in Video Village that has like 3 monitors for each camera, and they're looking at the monitor, and they're not seeing what they want to see.
Who is that? The first AD does that, or who does that?
Line
producer?
The people that do most of the work are the director of photography. Those guys are the guys who are the real directors for the most part, who light everything and set up all the angles and do all that.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two.
I always thought the cinematographer did that. Is that a different thing?
I think at my budget, you don't have a cinematographer, but you do if you're doing Lord of the Rings or something.
Right, right.
But
okay.
The camera guys are the most important guys.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, you just, you know, you do your lines. The other guy does his lines. If you flub them, you kind of know it.
Yeah.
You know, if you think you nailed it, you do some sort of thing where you yell to the guy who co-directed the film, who's sitting in front of the monitors, how was that? And he yells back, either do another one or fine, and you move on.
Yeah.
That's about it. And by the way, most of the people who can act, like the people that are in my film, Diane Farr is a really good actress.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell her what to do.
Yeah.
You know, you're a single lady. You like this guy. You're intrigued, but you've been burned before. Go ahead and act.
Next.
Act. We'll move
and
on.
And act.
And then that's it. So, but the reason I realize that everyone in this town turns into like a self-important blowhard is when you get interviewed, you start getting asked these questions. And before you know it, you start going down this road where you're like, I wanted my character's arc. And you go, what? Now I'm turning into the fucking self-important blowhard that I rail against because you keep asking, what was the motivation?
But imagine if they felt that way to begin with, and then you're getting asked these questions. Then it just amplifies all this shit.
Direction, I would say, in many films, and I don't know if it's that way for Avatar or something, or Poseidon Adventure, whatever, but... for my kind of films, you sit and you write it. Did the person get their line out? Here's a few alternate lines. The person will yell something out from Video Village. Try saying this. Try saying it. Said, you know, I've been playing this club all day. Say all night this time. It's at night. Don't say all day. Okay, here we go. Then you move on. That's about it.
Yeah.
It's just about as complicated as it gets. And I also realized I didn't direct my first film, but I did, because I stood there and said the lines and directed myself and then told the other person what to say.
Yeah.
So the direction part, not a big leap. If you want to know how hard directing is, go to year 4 of any sitcom and see that John Stamos did this episode of Full House.
Yeah, yeah.
And go, oh.
Try to tell the difference.
How hard can it be? Yeah. It's just the person that was there for three seasons went, you know what? I'm going to direct this next one. And then they direct it, and you tell me if you can tell the difference.
Yeah. Remember, we were in Dawson's Creek. We were directed by one of the kids. Jackson, is that his name?
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. You do three episodes.
You're laughing, Chris. That's what happened.
It takes three episodes to figure out it's not very hard to direct. It's hard
to
write.
And he actually did a good job.
Or not, doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. It's just the same episode. The episodes start sort of... By the way, the thing kind of becomes a train that almost starts running itself by season four, not independent films, because that's a different thing. But season four of Dawson's Creek or Full House, they just start running themselves.
I did Mark Maron's TV show last week, and Bobcat's directing a couple of those episodes.
Love me some Bobcat.
Yeah, he actually has a documentary coming out that is awesome about a comedian guy named Cummins or something. Do you know this guy from Boston?
I heard about this, but I haven't seen it yet.
Awesome. Worth your time.
Oh, well, listen, I love documentaries. Yeah. I love documentaries about comedians.
Yeah.
All right. So my movie, Road Hard, you can pre-order on Amazon or iTunes, I think, now is the plan. And watch it climb the charts and give us a hand.
And we had a good time at the Improv.
Yeah.
The screening. It was cool. Everybody turned up. Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So what'd you think? Yeah.
I only got to see half. I had to go out and do Loveline. But what I saw, I loved.
Why'd you? I don't get half. We started before 8.
I don't think you did.
I started a minute or two before 8.
Okay. I left. Well, then I saw more than half. I left about 5. I had to get my car. I left about 8:50.
What? 8:50?
Yeah.
Why are you such a puss, Drew?
When am I not going to be a puss? It's been that way forever. I'm anxious about timing and getting places on time stuff.
Drew, we had a whole conversation.
Yeah, same thing tonight. We're going to do we're going to Pasadena.
Great. Let's plug it.
Oh, it's not. This
good,
is
good impulse.
All right, pull this out.
What businesses are people in around here? Like, how does life work?
I lose track of time.
Okay, now listen to me. Drew,
yeah.
We talked about the Improv.
Yeah.
And we talked about its proximity to where you work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I said last week, at that time of night, 12 minutes, 13 minutes. You can get from the Improv to there in 14 minutes.
To be fair, it was about 25.
25?
Getting my car.
Getting your car. But yeah.
And I had to
driving
be there.
Time,
I forgot
driving.
The fuck I had to do, but I had to be there at 9:15 or 9:20. And I had to do some ads and bullshit, and so I had to be up early. I did. We were moving the studio to K-Rock. We had just done that. It was a bunch of shit I had to go through.
Could have left at 9:30 and got there before the show started. What are you talking about?
No, I had shit to do at 9:30. I for sure had stuff to do at 9:30.
They walk down the middle of the...
What the fuck? I'm going to see it. I'm sure I'm going to see the whole thing.
You went to the whole thing with the whole thing.
I was showing support. I was there to support you.
I appreciate it.
To be honest, I didn't even know it was actually a view. I thought it was just a thing to support it. I didn't know it was going to be a viewing even. I was not prepared for that. I didn't know.
Okay.
I just didn't know.
He's caught off guard by a romantic comment.
I was happy to see it.
Really?
I was happy to watch it.
He did have nice things to say about the first half, though. He was telling me and Gary.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
The fuck's the matter with you?
Nothing. I'm just saying you were 12 minutes away from work. Your work started at 10 p.m. You could have.
Oh, no. I definitely forgot the fuck I did.
All right. You had something to do beforehand.
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right. Now, on a happy note, my dishwasher's broken.
What's this? Wait, let's take it a beat and first be happy about your Improv screening. It was a very successful event.
Yes.
Very well received.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I have told everybody that anybody I know that has been on the road at all, it's like required viewing.
Thank you.
It's required for everybody. But anybody that's on the road, I especially will relate so strongly to the hotel shit. I mean, everybody has felt every one of those feelings.
Thank you. All right. Now I feel good. Now, you know what makes me feel better? Here's what makes me feel better. My dishwasher's broken.
All right.
It finally just crapped out.
Was it a new one, an old one? Was it there when you bought the house?
It finally just crapped out.
No. I'm asking. Sometimes they crap out because...
My dishwasher's broken. It finally just crapped out.
Okay. I won't ask any questions.
Would you like to know if I bought it last week? No, I know I'm a douchebag, but it finally just crapped out.
The word finally.
Finally is probably.
Gary, shut the fuck up.
Well, look.
You say the fuck out of this. My question was, is it something?
No. Your question was loaded before I finished my sentence.
Then go ahead.
Which is part of not listening.
All right.
I'm not trying to be a dickhead. I'm just saying, here's how the human mind works. You make a statement, which is, I'm getting a divorce. I start formulating my next question, where you say that my question I'm formulating is this your first divorce? Have you been divorced before? Right? All right. I'm forming my question.
Yeah, you want to know. You're curious.
Yeah. I'm forming a question after you make your statement. Mm-hmm. But as you go along, you say, yeah, this is my third wife. I don't think I'll get married again. And then I spit out, is this your first divorce?
Okay.
Because I loaded my question.
Okay.
And I did
you
not hear.
And let's see
do
if
you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And you continue.
Well, you don't do that very often, but I'm saying that's how most people work.
I don't like preloading. I had an agenda that I was thinking about my own relationship with dishwashers.
Yes.
And I wondered if it matched yours. So go ahead and finish your story. We'll see if it is a match. And then I will ask my fucking question.
Well, you already asked your question.
No,
your
I have not.
Your question was, is how new is it? And I said, it finally just crapped
there's
out.
There's a little more in it. Go ahead. Okay.
Okay. Well, I've lived in my house for how long?
18 months? Something like that? Has it been that long?
Yeah, not quite.
Okay.
All right. But right about there.
All right.
So when I say it finally just crapped out, I have no idea how old it is other than it seems old to me.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. And we can surmise I didn't buy it.
Okay. Yeah, then I'm done.
Yes. Now, here's the good news. I don't like this device.
You don't think they're necessary?
Not think they're necessary.
Okay.
No, I do in a commercial restaurant, casinos and things of that nature, but I don't at home.
And strangely, even there, it seems like they do an awful lot of it by hand, or at least sort of a hand-operated device, right?
Yeah, but I understand when you need a certain consistency every time, and the glasses and the stemware can't have any water drops or marks or anything on it, whatever that is. Yeah. I understand it on a buffet-style, Caesar's Palace-style level, and I understand it over at the Olive Garden, because we must remove human error.
Yeah.
Because if the guy has hepatitis C and he didn't wash his hands, and we got a lawsuit now.
Right.
If everything just went through the machine, sue the guy who made the machine.
Yeah.
Not the Olive Garden.
Yes.
Got me?
Makes sense.
But I spend my life basically talking to superstitious natives about nothing that they will not listen to. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
That part where... You know, the doctor says, well, no food or liquid after midnight. And you go, yeah, but they say that when you come in for 8 o'clock procedure, and they say when you come in at a 4 o'clock procedure. So it can't be nothing after midnight. And I go, well, that's what the doctor said. And I go, have a fucking half a granola bar. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but they said, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And then they go, you're not a doctor. And then I say, look, it's the exact same way I knew it was okay to have your phone on the airplane. And they go, well, yeah, but no, they don't want your phone. Magically, you can have your phone on now. But 10 years ago, I said, phone off. Do you think they would let you on the plane with the device that could possibly take it down? Because every third flight, Mike August, his phone is on. He doesn't know it.
Yeah.
But his phone is on.
Yeah.
And so is half the other imbeciles on the plane.
Yeah.
If it was,
so far, no planes down from that.
If in you could not have one eyedrop of liquid or 1 milligram of food past midnight, they would check you in the night before to a hospital.
Yep.
If that was the rule.
Yep.
But instead, they send you home with a full pantry and a full fridge and go, hey, don't do this. Mm-hmm. That's how you know.
Yep.
Okay. So, the fuck were we talking about? The dishwasher. Mm. Every night, there's a fucking ritual that takes place at my house, which is my wife or my nanny, they stand over the sink, they get the sponge out, they rinse and wash, with hot water going and a sponge, and they do, and then they load it into the dishwasher, and then they run the dishwasher, which, in terms of a drought, must use up a lot of water, but in terms of kilowatts, that thing's churning.
And there may be some phosphates released into the environment from those little packets or whatever.
Whatever it is. It's just more in the landfill, and it's more down the drain, literally. And that thing, That thing's not an LED bulb. That thing's churning in there. Like, I hear the thing. You know, there's pumps and motors and actuators and blah, blah, blah. I'm the insane person that says, you're standing over the sink. You've got the sponge in your hand. You're rinsing the plate. I don't see anything on the plate.
How about just add a little soap and you're done?
There's oftentimes soap involved. You have a dish rack directly to your left. Spend another 1.7 seconds on that plate or on that coffee mug and then just set it in the rack next to you. I want it clean.
That's not really clean. I want it sterilized.
I go, it's clean. I don't want any germs on it the next day when the kids eat breakfast. There are no germs on it. It's dry.
I would urge you not to waste the calories on this. You are not going to win this.
Oh, no, I've won.
No way. Seriously?
The washing machine broke.
Oh, no, but I mean...
No. I got this one. The washing machine broke.
Oh, there will
and
be...
And there's only one human being that can take care of anything at my house. All that human being has to do is go on sabbatical.
Okay.
And we got no washing machine.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do, but there's an internet nearby. Your wife might get desperate.
What's she going to do? Who's going to put it in?
Just whoever.
Oh, it's a lot of calories.
All right.
It ain't going to happen.
Okay.
But believe me, I'll put it off.
It really reminds me about the shit that people use for shaving cream.
Oh.
Gel, foam, air, whatever the hell it is. Irritates the skin. Well, in the past, you've blamed your razor. Listen, how about using cream when you shave? That's why Cremo, everybody. Need to upgrade your shave cream. Shave gels, foams, it's not a lubricant. Cremo is a slick, foam-free shave cream. Comes in a tube, not a can. Any razor glides, comfortable, sensitive skin, no bumps or burns, irritation, none of that. Want a better shave? Try upgrading your shave cream. Get Cremo at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, the CVS, the Red Cap, White Tube.
I still use it with my hipster beard.
Where? Under here?
I just put a little on the neck. Yeah. I put a little up the upper cheek.
It feels to me like they're really going after men, but this is a great thing for women in their shaving because it's just so – you have to use so little and it covers big surface area stuff.
So, an article came out saying – I don't know. What happens is I make my proclamations. Everybody argues with me. Everybody. All the time. Just argues. All the time. What I'm saying – Drew.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is – look, don't do it for me. Do it for you. You have to load and unload this device. Can you think about the position physically, the position one must take to unload the lower shelf of a dishwasher?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's bad for your back.
You spend 20 minutes hunched over and then up and then back down again. And what I'm saying is save yourself some time and just put it in the thing. You rinse it. It's in the sink. It's in your hand. You have a sponge in your hand. Set it there. I mean, when I was a bachelor, I'd use a coffee mug, and then when I was done, I would rinse it out, and I would just set it on the rack.
And I'm sure your wife cleans pots and things that don't really fit in the dishwasher, and they don't harm anything. She does okay with those, right? They go back in the closet. They're fine. No one's harmed. Okay. Anyway.
Okay, so let's see. What happened to the article, by the way? Okay.
There it is.
All right. What is it? It's a study involving 1,000 Swedish children, seven or eight. And anyway, it says in families who said they mostly wash dishes by hand, significantly fewer children had, what is that?
Eczema.
Oh, eczema. How you read it then?
And somewhat fewer had either asthma or hay fever compared to kids from families who let machines wash their dishes. Findings are the latest to support hygiene hypothesis. This is your thing. This is your sewer rat hypothesis.
How do I know?
A still evolving proposition that's been gaining momentum in recent years. The hypothesis basically suggests that people in developed countries are growing up way too clean because of a variety of trends, including use of hand sanitizers.
What?
Hand sanitizers and detergents and spending too little time around animals.
What?
Holy shit.
What? What? Who knew? Who? What deity could have possibly seen this coming? Who could have possibly anticipated this? Who could have possibly seen this coming when everyone was going nuts screaming, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, Purell, 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 wash. Who could have seen it? Who?
Well, you've been talking about Purell as a bad, something bad's going to come out of that somewhere. You've been saying that for a long time.
Well, certainly, it already has in terms of turning everyone into fucking pussies. that damage has already been done. Now we'll see if there's a biological damage. Huh. Socially and spiritually, the damage has been done. Okay.
Yep.
Here's all I'm saying, Drew.
Yep.
Why not listen to the guy who never gets sick and has everything?
We don't listen to you. Why should we suddenly start listening to you?
Well, I would listen.
No one listens. Relax.
I would listen to me because.
I would too, but no one does. So there you go. Don't burn your energy. It's all right.
But,
you can say
how many times
so.
I have to be right about every fucking thing we get into?
100% of the time.
All right. So on the 101st time, why not listen?
Here's what the problem is. It wouldn't be so bad if they just didn't listen to you, but they attack you for your opinions and shit on them. And that's the bad part.
Yes.
That's the problem. So don't ask why they don't listen to me. Ask why do they shit on me when I end up being right?
I got the fucking fist bump from a guy yesterday, and I got the kids. I got the cold. The kids, they're Petri dishes. They just bring, you know what my fucking favorite saying is? Well, actually, don't do your best. Do my best is my number one.
Yeah.
My number two is when they go, the kids got it. The wife's got it. It's really going around. Not around me. It's going around. Oh, it's going around. It's going around. Never stops at me. It's always going around. Never stops at me.
Doesn't want you.
Doesn't want me. Scared of me. Yeah.
You wait till your kids go to school.
Look,
we'll
they're
see.
They're eight well, now. They're in the third grade. They've been back and forth a lot.
Didn't they have a lot of stuff?
I don't know what they had.
You didn't get it.
I don't get it.
All right.
I hug them. I lick them. I kiss them.
Okay.
I'll drop a digit on them. I'll do what I got to do. Just a boy. The point is this, nothing over here. And you know what? They don't get sick that much either.
Maybe maybe it's the anal solution.
The anal solution.
Stool solution.
Was that Hitler's plan? Oh, it's final. Anyway, the wife gets it, the nanny gets it, the kids get it, but it doesn't come around. It comes around, just doesn't stop.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
What? Because they eat shit off the ground. That's all.
But that's the anal solution.
But by the way, Drew.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we intuitively know? I mean, let's we're going to hop on the phones in a second, but here's what I'm saying, Drew.
Yeah, listening. Dig.
Back in the 70s when we were running wind sprints in the San Fernando Valley and it was 103 degrees outside and we were sweating our asses off and somebody was yelling, "No water, it's bad for you, you cramp up." Shouldn't we have instinctively known that just young people, 11-year-olds sweating off 3 pounds of water weight should need to replenish that water?
Lord of the Flies, we should have attacked our coach. And just...
No, but scientifically.
Yeah.
Shouldn't somebody with a fucking degree.
With a brain.
At that point, we had dissected a few human beings. We had a pretty good understanding about how the internals of a body worked. And some scientists raise their fucking hand and go, drink some water.
To be fair, it evolved when I was playing football. It evolved from it's bad for you, gives you cramps, to you got to get used to this because we can't bring you water out in the field. That's where it got by the time.
Nah, still, the water was not considered good for you.
Right.
All right. So instinctively, you're like, this doesn't make sense. Now we're overhydrating.
Yeah.
There's a new article that says what I've been screaming at my wife the whole time, which is they'll drink when they're thirsty.
No, you can get it. You get a medullary washout, it's called. You can get a washout of the, yeah.
You know, it's like Sonny's running around and my wife's screaming, chasing after him with a fucking Sparklets bottle. And I'm yelling, when he's thirsty, because he knows where the water is, he will stop and then he will replenish his body. Like, it's like yelling at him to go to the bathroom. Like, when he needs to go, he will.
Actually, it's legitimate to bug old people about taking fluids
because
lose their sense of sensation about that.
Right. Yeah. So, what I'm saying with all the Purell and all the hand washing and all the peanut allergies and all the skull correction and all this stuff is, how come people can't raise their hand and go, wait a minute? Don't we need to be exposed to a certain amount of things in order? How do vaccinations work?
Right.
Drew, explain how vaccinations work.
By exposing you to a little bit of the pathogen, and your body reacts to it and develops an immune response.
Okay, so when everyone is sterilizing themselves every 10 seconds.
You're not going to get exposed enough and can't develop an adequate immune response.
The guy who was put on academic probation at L.A. Valley Junior College, the man who suffered multiple head traumas, the man who spelled girls with a U. in the sixth grade. I must draw these conclusions? I'm the guy who has to come up with these ideas? Why this guy? Why don't the fucking people?
The rest of us are steeped in our ideology. Yeah,
you're
our
fucking
training.
Scared natives.
We can't.
No, right. No, scared natives.
And we can't see out of our own.
But the housewives, the mothers, are superstitious, scared natives.
Oh, for sure. That's for sure.
Yes.
I don't mean just my parents are superstitious, scared natives. It's like not adopting stamps.com, baby. That's the silliness of all that. Because you go to the post office, you're like robots, not just scared natives, but robots. It's never convenient. Now you can use stamps.com. Not only do you get to not go to the post office, but you get special discounts you can't get at the post office. Never pay full price for postage again. Buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And our special offer, you know it, promo code ADS, no risk trial, $110 bonus offer. Get the digital scale, plug that into your computer, weigh your package, weigh your letter, get the precise postage. To me, that's voodoo magic because
yes.
I'm just guessing postage all the time, putting 90 cents, $120, you know, $1.20.
I would just put a whole roll of stamps
on every, if there's any questions, it's got to get there.
Yes.
Now the right postage, you know for sure, and $55, that postage is free. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in ADS, that is stamps.com, enter ADS.
All right,
stamps.com, bitch. That's
let's right,
bitch.
Start at the top. John, 17, Indiana.
Hello?
Hey there.
What's going on?
I've been working construction since I was 13 is when I started my first job in it. And the whole time I've been working my way up, what's motivated me is that I just had a shitty dad and I was just going to drive an awesome truck and show him that I fucking ruled and he sucked. But now he's decided that he wants to come back around and it's just I'm losing all my motivation.
What do you mean come back around? You mean he's going to start working?
No, he works and stuff. He's got a really good job, but he just hasn't been around. He's just been off doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now he wants to be a dad again.
Oh, well, wow. Maybe you're getting depressed.
You're almost out of the house, though, at 17, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a dependent relationship you have with your parents when it really counts, and then at a certain point, they can just kind of become like guys you know who you occasionally go out to dinner with.
Yeah.
You know, there's a relationship. We never really get into this, but at a certain point, it's an adult on adult kind of thing where
right.
you find yourself once a month sitting at the aforementioned
dad.
Olive Garden deciding on who's going to pay. You know, it's not, you know, it's not really your dad,
but
in a dependent way.
No, I understand that, but this dad is still under this guy's skin in a profound way.
Well, they're always going to be.
Well, it's 17 especially.
Yeah,
But I'm a little unclear. I think we got to parse this out a little more to help you kind of get through it. It sounds like you were just angry with him and you were letting that anger fuel you. And then when he came around, you got more in touch with where the anger was coming from, which was the hurt. And that became more depression and that took the wind out of your sails, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't like depression. That's just kind of stupid. Everybody gets through depression when you're young. That's just like,
hey,
I don't know. It's just
listen, all right, let's call it something else. Then let's call it, it deflated you in some way.
Yeah.
Okay, let's call it, another word for that is depression.
But John, what's your situation right now? You going to school?
Yeah, I'm still in high school.
And you're a senior?
No, I'm a junior.
When do you turn 18?
In about 6 months.
And you say your dad wanted to come around, start coming back around. Does that mean with your mom too, or?
No, he's on his third marriage, and he's got a new girlfriend. He left my stepmom. That was my birthday, or my Christmas present this year.
Okay. Well, listen, John. You sound angry and hurt, which is fine.
You should be. But Adam likes the cut of your jib.
I
right?
do. Yeah. I like the part where you just work. You know, it's funny. My son, oh, Jesus Christ, doing a fucking book report on Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this.
And it's an endless. Yeah. I swear. I walked into the kitchen last night. I walked into my den. My wife and son had taken over my den, you know, with the books and the paper spread everywhere. And then she's doing. He wasn't 7 foot in high school. It says he was almost 7 foot in high school and almost 300 pounds, and he was made fun of. And then I walked into the kitchen, and there was the nanny. And the kitchen was a mess. The food was out, and the dishes were everywhere, and she was planted on a stool sitting at the counter, feverishly like going through something on her phone. And as I walked by, I saw a whole bunch of images. And I said, what's going on? And she said, I'm looking for pictures of Shaquille O'Neal, but I cannot find the right picture. I said, stop it. Well, he needs a I said, get to work. I'm not paying you to look for pictures of Shaquille O'Neal. I'm not trying to be a dick, but I've had enough of this. I already got two bodies burning calories in my office over fucking nothing. And now I got you. I said, get up, get going. The kitchen's a mess. Pack sandwiches, feed the dog, whatever you got to do. But anything but sit here and look for better. I looked down. There was a printed out picture of Shaq.
Yeah.
And in full form. And I said, what about this? Well, he wants a better one. I said, I don't give a shit what he wants. That's what he's got. Now, get going. Start cleaning. What are you guys, trying to get me to kill myself? Is that everyone's plan? I'll just kill myself. That'll be awesome. There'll be awesome. No more Shaq research money when I fucking kill myself. Are you kidding me?
God.
He's in the third grade. My wife's... The number one topic at the Corolla house for the last 3 weeks has been my 8-year-old boy and his Shaquille O'Neal book report. All the calories burnt, all the discussions, all the research has gone into this fucking thing.
He's in third or fourth grade now?
Third grade.
Oh, it's going to get so much worse. You don't even know what you're in for.
First off, you know, everyone gives me...
He will not spell girl, G-U-R-L, in sixth grade.
I don't give a fuck. I don't want all the fuck. Here's what I want to... Drew, can you please fucking side with me on this?
Go ahead.
You are fucking up my family life. You are fucking up my family life. Do you fucking guys hear me? I come home at 6:30 at night and everybody is in the kitchen. Not fucking having a discussion about their day. Not eating, not playing the acoustic guitar, huddled over a bunch of papers, trying to sort them out, trying to figure out what we got, what we don't got, and monopolize. And then I walk into the bedroom at 8:30 at night, and my wife is sitting up, and she's got the laptop open, and Sonny's sitting next to her, and they're having a discussion about Shaquille O'Neal. Is that a good thing? Now, granted, it's better than slamming heroin, but isn't there a place for conversation, for a bonding, for something? My fucking house has become the fucking bookmobile, and everybody's just buzzing around. And by the way, here's never-ending this. Here's the never-ending fucking siren song that comes from my kitchen. Do you have, where's the paper? Where's Monday? Where's Monday's paperwork? Sonny, where's your money? Is that in your backpack? Olga, get the backpack. That's the path to success. That's the key to success. Sitting in a fucking kitchen and arguing over Shaquille O'Neal's paperwork.
There is not evidence.
Jesus fucking Christ.
There's not evidence that this kind of thing does anything.
Go to the fucking backyard and kick the fucking soccer ball around. Please. Please, what are we doing? They're handing out reams and reams of fucking work, and then we just go home and argue.
How come your daughter isn't getting into this spin?
Well, she gets into it, but she actually finishes her shit, where Sonny moves like a fucking glacier. And it's then you get the note, well, he stares out the window a lot and stuff. Yeah, because he's fucking, he's eight, and he's a boy, and he wants to go outside and throw football.
All this work may pay dividends for him. Listen, a couple things.
It's going to send him in a shame and depression spiral.
Around fourth grade, one of my kids had some reading difficulties, and he took it upon himself. He did some reading discipline training. It was really, really one of his, like, it's something he looks back on and goes, I did that. You know, I know I can overcome things. I recognize that when I was – it was an important thing for him, A.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Can we stop trying to steer our kids from the back seat?
Well, that's – yeah.
Go steer him. Steer him toward the Purell and toward Shaq. Yeah. Maybe we could get a Purell dispenser shaped like Shaq. Just fucking press his head and a fucking Purell came out. Listen, the kid's fine.
Pure Shaq.
This is the extension of the fucking corrective helmet that he never needed. Now it's a corrective life. You know what I mean? We're going to mold him. We're going to get him to do this. He's slow in this. We got to get him going in that. You don't want him to fall behind this.
But that's kind of true.
All right.
I mean, it's to his benefit that he not fall behind.
He's good at certain things. He's bad at other things.
No, I know.
And I'd like him to pick up the pace. But the fucking reams of homework that they send these fucking kids home with, that then it's not we. I mean, the quality of my wife's life and my life is significantly diminished by the piles of fucking work they give these kids to take home. Significantly diminished. My wife wakes up in the morning and goes, Sonny's got to do his paper. And then she goes to bed at night going, Sonny, did you get your Shaquille O'Neal? It's significantly diminished.
Okay.
Is that fair to us?
It's just the beginning, my friend.
No.
Yes.
I don't fucking want it.
Mm-hmm.
How about you use your allotted 8 fucking hours you have with the kids, impart whatever wisdom, knowledge, or scholastic whatever you need to impart upon them during that allotted 8 hours. It's an allotted 8 hours.
You're starting to remind me.
It's 8 fucking hours.
You're starting to remind me of people that used to make fun of that take their kids and go tour around the world for a year and homeschool them and stuff.
No, that's good. Touring around the world is fucking fine. I'm jealous of that. I want them to have experience. And by the way, you think I'm kidding. This chasm you're creating between the haves and the have-nots, it is growing significantly.
Because of this stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know.
Because if Lynette was a single mother of 4 that had to work 3 jobs.
That kid will fall behind.
Well, it has to. There is no nanny. There is no There's no dad at home.
This is the
there's...
conversation. That's actually what people, that's, there's the.
Good. There's, I got a solution. Knock it off.
There's the prison to school pipeline.
Well, of course. Well, look, you have an allotted period of time in a place called school, right? Okay. Then you then the bell rings at 3:05, and one group of people gets to go home to some air conditioning, a nanny and a mom who are willing to then push them further along, further away from the opening of the pipeline.
Yeah.
Because daddy's working and mommy doesn't have a job. Now the other group, group B, goes home to no air conditioning and no mama and no nanny. Now who's doing the homework?
Mm.
Okay, so now there's a chasm that is being created between the two groups. Would you like to bridge that chasm? Well, you have 2 ways to do it. We can get an extra nanny for the people who can't afford, who are working as nannies, can't afford it. We can insert some father figure or something in there to work a full-time job so mom can be freed up. These are pretty tall orders. Or we can simply have school end when it ends. Now, I'll give you a couple of book reports a year, Drew, but I'm talking about a nightly ritual that lasts 2.5 hours where you just argue with your kids about what did you do with Monday's paperwork. That would bridge that chasm. And by the way, what do you think? Everyone's going to go on and be fucking Charles Darwin? Kid's going to get a stupid computer job and try to get laid.
What do you think is going on in China and India?
Oh, they're going, but don't worry, they're going to kill themselves. Don't worry about them. We'll always beat. We do innovation. They rip off our ideas because we create.
Ooh,
we're creative.
Ah.
They're too regimented.
Oh, I see.
You understand? No. What do? We make the devices. We make the stuff, and then they rip it off.
Right.
Who makes the movies? Who makes the golf clubs? Who makes the iPhone? They rip it off.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And you know why we make cool movies and cool devices and titleless golf clubs?
We're not doing homework.
Yes, because we're free. We have fucking 10 minutes to think. We're not all marching in lockstep and wearing gray pajamas. We go home, we go in the fucking backyard, and we kick the ball around for a while. And while we're kicking the ball around, our mind is thinking up shit. We have a little freedom. We're not stuffed in a fucking book with Shaquille O'Neal on the cover trying to figure out what the hell our next word is going to be. We have some freedom, man. Freedom to think. Freedom to breathe. Freedom to find a direction. Freedom to explore something. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
Keep
you.
Moving here. Keep moving.
Thank you.
Line 1.
2. Too late. I hit line 3. Cheryl? Jesus Christ.
Hi.
There you are. What's up?
Everyone should be paying me.
What's going on?
36, Orange County.
Yes, that's right. I love you both. I listen to you all the time, and I just wanted to run this what's going on in my life by you and try and get some advice. I am a mom of two kids, a two-year-old boy and a six-month-old little girl. My brother-in-law, who lives on the East Coast, he sexually abused a very young girl when he was a teenager.
Wow.
So it's very unclear to me. I just recently found out about this event. It was like a year and a half ago that I found out that this mm-hmm. even happened.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just trying to figure out my boundaries. Because if it was up to me right now, I would never want to see him again. I don't want to introduce him to my daughter.
Can I ask you a quick question? I was reading my screen, so I may have whiffed on this. He was how old and she was how old? That makes a difference to me.
He was 14 years old, babysitting a six-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, sometimes...
And his penis ended up in her mouth.
Okay, yeah. See, sometimes Drew and I, come to loggerheads on this when the seven-year-olds are diddling each other's pee-pee and stuff like that, and I go, oh, who cares? But I don't love it, but... This is significantly different. This is different.
This is bad stuff.
This is bad stuff.
Is he involved in any criminal activity now?
No.
Has he had any treatment?
It's very unclear because his family, my husband's family, they just come from a long line of sexual abuse that they don't talk about.
Oh,
they
Jesus.
Just never
hold on. The room's spinning. Of course.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, if he's not had treatment, this is a dangerous predator, and he may be a dangerous predator anyway. So, be practical about this. Your kid's never around him alone, ever.
Well, she knows that. But how did this come out? How did we find out about this?
It's the craziest story. Like, my husband came out that he was a victim of sexual abuse.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
And when we got engaged, and because it was just like, oh, the priest is going to marry us. He's going to marry us. And my husband put his foot down and said, this priest touched me when I was a kid. So then it all came out,
wow.
And then the older brother, oh, he abused him too, shocking, and then both parents said, oh, well, I got abused too by, somebody in my childhood.
Yeah.
And then my husband was like the whistleblower. He had a bunch of kids together that he, went to this church with, the guy, he ended up getting, criminally charged and defrocked and thrown out of the church, and so our family has already been through all of that.
Wait, has your husband been treated for the sexual trauma?
Yeah.
Okay. How long was the treatment? Wait, because I'm worried about your husband.
He's blowing whistles and organizing people.
He's a stand-up guy. He's totally, he doesn't have a deviant sexual past like his brother does.
Okay, so the age of his brother is... Now.
Right now, he is 38.
Okay. And is he a successful person? Does he have a family? Is he in the community?
He is married. His wife knows about this and accepts him and thinks that, they'll be safe and they'll move through it. Oof. We've had a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
She trusts him. I don't.
No, you should
I don't
not.
Know how to communicate with
the family. All right, the conversation is you and your husband. Your husband who's been through this therapy, who's been abused, who's come out the other end and probably been better for it. He's the guy who's going to know best and be able to communicate best with his brother.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who's going to need to say to his brother, have you worked on this? Have you got help for this? And if his brother says, no, but I'm doing good, that'll be one answer. And I think for you, Cheryl, here's what I'm going to say in the next 20 seconds we have. Let's not make this your reason for, let's not make this your Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, don't make it her problem.
Yes.
It shouldn't be her problem.
I'm being destroyed by a book report now.
Right.
My life is being destroyed. Let's not let your life be destroyed by your husband's brother, whether your husband's brother was in jail for mass murder or, suffering from AIDS, whatever it is, let's not let let's not let your life revolve around him.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You say your piece, you do what you have to do, you tell your husband what you think should be done, and then you move forward. Let's not make you in, let's, be careful in life, everybody, about weaving yourself into every situation. It's good to be responsible. It's good to say something. It's good to tell someone to seek help. But at a certain point, you move forward.
Yeah.
I agree. But can I ask you this? He called yesterday, and they want to come out and stay with us.
Nope.
They want to come to California.
How far? No, the answer is you talk to your husband, and you tell him to talk to him and ask him how his treatment is going. And what his treatment he has got, and all that stuff. And I'm just saying where they're at, and have that discussion. I would have that discussion first.
Oh, for sure.
And I probably wouldn't let him come out, but I'm saying
if he wants to come out and stay nearby,
well, yeah,
visit,
stay at the Red Roof Inn, yeah, and you guys can go out during the daylight hours.
Right, that's fine. Especially if he's had some treatment going, I would not let them stay with you under any circumstances. I would not. I would not.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what I would do. Simply Safe, smart home security, no aggressive sales, guys.
Think how you can monitor that dude with Simply Safe.
Oh.
How about that?
Yeah, you need it, man. It's not a hardwired system, no long-term lock-in contracts. Easy. You just go online, set up your system. So you just go, how many doors? I call them freedom doors, not French door. How many sensors do I need? How many windows do I have? You do all that. You get your package, and then it just shows up at your front door. And then in 20 minutes, it's all put in, just put in place. You just stick it on. It's all, you know, double stick 3M stuff. The batteries last for 5 years. I've had the security systems put. These guys are, first off, they're, can I tell you? Husband and wife team installed my last security system.
Yeah.
The husband is up top drilling through some masonry on top of a window. Inside the house, the concrete dust is raining down all over the place. The wife is standing 4 feet away from him, looking up at him, holding a vacuum cleaner. Okay? Holding a vacuum cleaner. And I say to her, fire up the vacuum, the shop vac, yeah, and hold the thing up to where the drill bit's going in and start sucking it in before it hits the ground. And she goes, yeah, I did, but he yelled at me. I was like, I'm glad you guys are having a little spat while all this fucking shit is falling all over my house. Let's not get into that. Let's go with Simply Safe. Put it all up in 20 minutes, round the clock protection, just $15. Go to simplysafeman.com. That's Simply Safe, simply with an I, safeman.com. You get 10% off. Let's do this, people. All righty then. Bunch of live shows, New York coming up, Caroline's, David Alan Greer, Alec Baldwin is going to be there. We'll do some shows, do some Road Hard screenings as well. That's coming up beginning of March, so look for that. Irvine, more Road Hard screenings, you know, coming to a town near you. It's going to be playing in quite a few theaters, so, you know, go online.
How many?
Check it out.
Do you know yet?
I don't know what the number is, but it'll be in most of the major cities, or many, many major cities.
Nice.
So thank you. So go ahead and go to adamcarolla.com or just type in Roadhard or whatever and figure it out. Take a Knee, my motivational podcast as well. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxpata, Gary Haftard. Say it. Mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.